This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn. It is hour number three. We are live from ESPN Studios in the Seaport District, New York City. And Bart, when it's hour number three, do the people even need to know what hour it is?
If you don't know, now you know.
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Bus a bus.
Yes, it is also time for Buster Olney, one of our favorite guests who joins us
right
now.
Tops, huh? Does it get better than that
ESPN
on a sunny day?
Senior writer, Sunday Night Baseball reporter as well. Buster, how we doing?
What it is. What's going on, guys?
I'll tell you what. Have you seen a creepier video than the one with Madison Bumgarner and the umpire? Like, I don't even know what the backstory is, but I really, really hope you have one. What happened there?
Yeah, it's unusual. In fact, if you guys haven't seen it, you need to find it. Somebody on social media put that whole thing in slow motion, the exchange, to the song Careless Whisper by Wham.
I did see that.
And it is really funny. So here's the backstory. You know, Madison, as you guys know, he can be grumpy on the mound.
A little bit.
And in that inning yesterday, first inning yesterday, a lot of home run. And then, one of the last pitches of the half inning, there was a close call on a ball strike issue with a home plate umpire. Madison thought it was a strike. It was a ball, according to K-Zone. And as Bumgarner was going off, probably more upset about the home run than anything, he yelled at the home plate umpire and waved his arm. Well, Dan Bellino, who was the first base umpire, came over to do one of those foreign substance checks we've seen with all pitchers. It usually take about 0.8 seconds. But in this case, it didn't take 0.8 seconds. He kept on, holding his hand and rubbing his hand and staring him down. He wasn't looking down at Bumgarner's hand. He was staring him right in the eyes.
Longingly.
I know Dan Bellino. I think he's a good guy. He's a great baseball guy. I think he made a terrible mistake because I think that what he was doing was protecting his teammate, the home plate umpire, because of what Bumgarner did right there. And then Bumgarner basically, who didn't go over there with an attitude toward Bellino, but as that foreign substance check lingered, then he says to him in so many words with an F-bomb in the middle of it, take your blank in time. Mm-hmm. And Bellino immediately ejected him. And this has certainly drawn a lot of conversation within baseball. Most of the time, in cases where there's stuff between players and umpires, there isn't any discipline. It would not surprise me if in this case there is,
really?
Because of the nature of it, the idea that, and you guys, we all look at the video and we all draw the same conclusion. Like, what are you doing? Holding on to the guy's hand. And, you saw all these former players come out of the woodwork yesterday on social media saying that in their eyes, Bellino clearly was baiting him into this confrontation, which led to Bumgarner's ejection after one inning.
Right, so Bellino may be a great umpire, but or a good guy, but it illuminates a bigger problem for me, just as a guy who parachutes in for baseball and saying, I would think that umpires in baseball probably have the most sensitive officials that I've ever seen in any sport. We watch football players and football coaches like strip down. Bill Belichick stripped down, referees. We see it in basketball. But you can't say something as minute as take your bleeping time. Do the umpires have too much authority? And how do we rein it back to a place where it should be, where it's respectful?
Yeah,
but they should be able to handle some criticism, understanding the moment, understanding that this is an emotional game and these guys are playing the game. They're there to officiate the game and be guardians of the game, not to be the primary story.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I tend to think that, we have these outlier instances like we had with Bellino yesterday that get a lot of attention, but doesn't reflect most of the dialogue between the players and the umpires. And let's face it, there's situations like with last night with Aaron Boone of the Yankees, mm-hmm. where he was upset enough about the ball strike calls that he basically made up his mind, I'm going to get ejected.
Right.
I'm going to tell Marty Foster, the home plate umpire, what I think about his calling, because I want to back my player, Aaron Judge. And so that sometimes leads to some of these confrontations. As I say, I think most of the time the umpires handle it well. I thought, Dan last night, did a terrible job in that instance. It was egregious, and I do think that he's going to pay a price for it.
All right, we're talking with Buster Olney again as the baseball season is going on, and all is right in New York. As he mentioned Aaron Judge, he mentioned Aaron Boone as well. The Yankees are just sitting on top of the world right now. Even though they lost last night, they made the Blue Jays earn that one to the very end. A great play to get that final out. They were about to tie the game, but they still took two or three from the Blue Jays and have won, had won 11 in a row until last night. The Mets also cruising as well. Now, you mentioned Boone. Boone had almost had that Savages in the Box moment last night, as he did get fiery defending his player. You had a tweet a couple of days ago about Judge and how the pace that he was on, 61 home runs, 115 runs, and 28 RBIs. You said he went all in on betting on himself. Now, I know it's way too early, but it was funny, the pace. But after turning down the money, the bet looks pretty damn good. And it really does. I mean, this couldn't have started out any better for Aaron Judge than what the team winning and him performing.
Absolutely perfect. And let me tell you something. You know, behind the scenes, not only when you talk to club officials about Aaron's decision to, you know, reject the $213.5 million, where people on team management were like, well, yeah, that what is he doing? Mm-hmm. You talk to people on the union side who were saying that, like, man, that's a lot of money to walk away from. You know, like the Red Sox made an offer to Xander Bogaerts, which was basically insulting. And it feels like, yeah, there was no question about it. In the Yankees case, people around baseball were like, that was a really fair offer. But Judge, you know, a couple days after that decision was made, before a Sunday night baseball game, Carl Ravitch walked up to him and said, hey, wow, you bet big on yourself. And Judge gave him that nice big smile and goes, yeah, I'm in a good spot. And yes, he is, sir.
Yes. I mean,
with this start, playing this well, you guys know if he, let's say he finishes the year, he plays 140 to 150 games. He hits 50 home runs. He drives in 120 runs. He's one of the top three for American League MVP. He hits the open market. You know there's going to be an owner there who's going to look at the production and say, I want that guy for $350 million, maybe more. And on top of that, Aaron also, I mean, that whole situation with the little boy 2 days ago,
yes,
and meeting that kid yesterday and the way that he crouched down to talk to the nine-year-old in the eyes and comfort him because the boy was crying. He was overwhelmed by meeting this giant. I mean, Aaron Judge is checking every box that he could have possibly hoped for in terms of selling himself in 2022. And oh, by the way, he also got vaccinated and was able to play in Toronto, which was an open question in spring training.
Too. Yes.
Well, I tell you what, the Yankees may have painted themselves into a corner because now, you know, it's going to cost them a lot more. But speaking about greatness, and I know Judge is off to a great start. You know, what about Dusty Baker and his accomplishments, his milestone, 2,000 wins? You know, where does this put him as far as – because he hasn't won a title, but what does this put him in reference of legacy?
Yeah, he'll make a speech in the Hall of Fame at some point, and that is going to be one of the greatest speeches of all time because he has seen and done everything. He was in the on-deck circle when Henry Aaron hit number 715, you know, the record breaker. He is believed to have shared in the first high five in sports history when he was with the Dodgers. 1,981 hits, 242 home runs, won a championship as a player with the Dodgers, managing all these teams with a lot of success. And the thing is, like when people ask about, you know, what has Dusty accomplished in the sport, you know what? He is so universally loved by players, where people have said, well, he doesn't handle bullpens well, he doesn't do this well. You know what? His teams have always played hard because his players know he cares about them. He's a good guy. And, you know, on top of that, with the Hall of Fame speech, we got to hear from Dusty because he was at that Monterey Pop Festival. What was it, 1970? He's told stories about smoking weed with Jimi Hendrix. We got to have a Hall of Fame speech from Dusty Baker.
Definitely. That is definitely a must listen, a must watch.
Should they put him in while he's still managing? Like, can he be one of those guys
no.
that goes in while he's still managing?
No, I think once he retires,
yeah.
Bart, once he retires and there'll be a little bit of a respite and then he'll go in the Hall of Fame. You know, he's one of 12 guys to win, you know, to rack up 2,000 victories. He's going to pass Bruce Bochy here very soon. You know, not long after that, he'll pass Walter Alston and some other names. He's going to finish in the top 10 all-time in career wins in the regular season.
And I believe he's on a shorter list of managers who have won 2,000 games and 40 playoff games, right? I believe he's on a
I
believe he's on a shorter list of
and,
that.
And, so. Yeah, he's had a remarkable career.
Yeah. All right. A question for you, Buster. Are the Pirates jealous of the Reds? The Reds are 3-21. I mean, that's how you tank. What's going on in Cincinnati?
Well, you know, they a few years ago, they tried to load up by spending money on free agents, Mike Moustakas, Nick Castellanos, and they did make the playoffs in the COVID year of 2020, but then last year it fell apart, and ownership ordered them to cut their payroll back. And so they made a bunch of trades. They dumped a bunch of salary. You know, you guys and I have talked about how nothing was done to avert tanking in baseball, which meant that the, you know, the Reds ownership is cut their payroll to the bone. And guess what? You get what you pay for. If you look at their lineup today, casual baseball fan probably couldn't recognize more than one or two names. They're terrible. There's no end in sight because Joey Votto, you know, who's nearing the end of his career, is batting 122. Jonathan Indy is probably their best player. He just went on the injured list. Guys are dropping like flies. It's going to get really ugly. And maybe the only saving grace, you mentioned the Pirates, the fact that the Reds play in the National League Central. So during the year, as the Cubs trade off guys, you know, Pirates trade off guys, maybe it'll be a little bit more of a level playing field, but it is going to be ugly in Cincinnati.
Yeah, they actually play the Pirates in a series that begins tomorrow. Hey, Buster, we're going to leave it right there, but always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. See you.
All right, Buster Olney, again, the best ESPN senior writer for baseball and also on Sunday Night Baseball as well. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, we'll discuss the latest on Ben Simmons. The Nets put out a statement when he will be available to them for next season. And Stephen A. sounds off on Kyrie as well. After Bart has this from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly, a weak battery can leave you stranded, but don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car and your budget. Make sure your vehicles are prepared for the winter ahead or the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Production and break.
Oh, my God. When you said for the winter ahead, I'm like, wait, what?
For the hot, scorching summer months.
We finally have good weather today.
Well, the Midwest is still in winter. Snowed a couple weeks ago.
Man. Bart and Hahn, Allen Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We do have calls to get to. I did mean to ask Buster about, like, the fan stuff, too. What he saw there. We were running out of time,
right,
though. But still, like, that is still – a lot of people still want to talk about that.
Have
so we certainly have your calls.
Have you seen the picture of the dude that – Dave Chappelle.
What, man, you mean the after photo?
Yes, he looked like Martin Lawrence after he fought Tommy Hearns on Martin Lawrence show. Man, that's how you send a statement. That should be the poster child. Like, run up, get done up. Run up on this stage. You're going to run up. You're going to get drug out.
Well, you know what? That like, if you know, the bouncers in clubs.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
Like, you come in somewhere and you start acting up, you get beat up.
But
I don't think it's ever going to
happen.
But, like, do you remember the – I don't forget who the concert was, but somebody ran on the stage and J.J. Watt happened to be there. And J.J. Watt just ran him down and tackled him. I forget whose concert it was.
Captain America just always
did. But, yeah, J.J. Watt happened to be there and he just – like, somebody was running on the stage, acting up, like, dancing around. Yeah. And Watt just – like as if he was a quarterback, just dropped him. And I thought like, well, maybe there needs to be more of that where you got – like you could be in line for a really good post-career career.
Yeah.
You like hitting people anyway.
Yeah. Some of these little young whippersnappers got put out that thing. I would just tase people. They'd be running, just tase around the ass. It's nothing funnier to see the dude get tased after they'd be talking. He'd be like, all right, I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, yes, you are.
Doing a Harlem shake-up of that thing. Yee yee.
All right, before we get back to your calls, the Nets put out a medical update on Ben Simmons. So he underwent successful microdiscectomy surgery today in Los Angeles. And following an initial recovery period of approximately 3 weeks, he'll begin a rehabilitation program. and he's expected to make full recovery before the start of next season's training camp. How soon before is the question. They said 3 to 4 months could be the recovery period here, takes you right up into September, yeah. And training camp begins in October.
Just feels like a wasted year. Because if he had to hurt back and he wasn't going to play, like I wonder if the back was been hurt, but because he wasn't doing anything.
Oh, there's no question. It was
he didn't know how hurt it was.
Well, all I kept hearing about was how he was training, getting ready, training. But then he comes to the Nets to train and he gets hurt right away, yeah. Which
he should have got surgery immediately. Maybe he didn't even want to get surgery because he was under contract. But if he'd have got the surgery, he would have never got traded. So maybe he didn't want to do that. So that means did he deceive the Nets and his team deceive the Nets because
you can't trade you physical,
but you can't trade, but you can't, but you can listen. I've seen a lot of players that fake physicals and bit down on things that hurt so they can pass.
I'm not
the
buying this. I'm buying. I would my conspiracy theory is he wasn't doing a damn thing.
I got that
and didn't think he was going to play. But figured he was sitting out the whole year. Shows up and now he's got to start ramping up, like getting ready to play. Yeah. And his body was not ready for it.
But the disc had to be herniated. I've seen guys, because you can't trade or cut a player that's injured. Can't trade him, right? You can't trade him if they just had surgery. So I think he held off knowing, listen, you just seen this happen.
You just
seen this happen with N'Kobe Dean. They found him out. He refused to have surgery because he wanted to get drafted. But they found it out. So now he knows he has to get surgery. Now everybody knows, and it costs him money.
Yeah.
So, like, you look at a guy like Ben Simmons just trying to find a pass a physical because they tell you, hey, we'll have to trade for you next year. You don't want this. You don't want to deal with this. You want to be out. Mm. So you have to bite down, and if you hurt yourself, you don't divulge to the team or to the organization that you're injured. Damn near that you have to have surgery. You knew your back. You don't just – if your back is herniated, he's felt it when he tried to do anything. But damn going out and practicing. Herniated disc, that hurts doing nothing. Sitting down, your back hurt when you got a herniated disc.
Which team lost this trade? Did both teams lose this?
Man.
I mean, the Sixers now are facing – we talked about it yesterday. Now everybody's starting today. Facing the conundrum of does he opt out?
Yeah.
Do you let him walk? Do you give him 50 a year and an extension? Do you really do that? Are you crazy?
I'd rather trade Maxey.
You can't possibly do that.
I'd rather trade Bradley Beal or Dame Lillard and send Maxey there. Well, it looks like
they're not going to want that.
I would let James Harden walk. I'm no way I'm giving him $50 million. I would let him walk and take that money that I saved and take the only chip I have in Maxey, and I would try and trade him for a superstar and try and fill my roster.
Like Bradley Beal?
Yes, like Bradley Beal or Dame Lillard. For Maxey, and out there's a youth movement in Portland, and it's a youth movement kind of in Washington. Bradley Beal finally sounds like he's ready to leave, and then with that money that you save, you go out and you fill the roster around him. That's still a decent big three: Dame Lillard, Tobias Harris, or even if you add Bradley Beal in there, that's still some superstars. At this point, Bradley Beal is more of a player than James Harden, and so is Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard would be the one you want.
And Maxey is showing you
he's a young budding star.
He's got something special happening with him.
Yep. His stock is the same as Poole in Golden State.
Mm.
It is rising. It is high. It has went higher. He's gained more respect and more money than any other player in this league. And you do that, and you put that money there, but then now you have an opportunity to go get the young, cheap veteran minimum guys to fill out the roster, because guess what? Everybody out there in LA is going to be gone, right? And when going back just a little bit, who won or who lost it, just imagine in Brooklyn, you have Ben Simmons and the Kyrie saga, because now Kyrie, who knows, he's walking around thinking he's Jesus Sutterworth or something, and he's on a whole tangent. So now you're almost left with nothing but KD that you can really bet on, because why would you want to give Kyrie an extension?
They've got a decision to make on him this offseason too. So now you got Ben Simmons, and you don't know if this is going to be a whole year. If this next season for Ben Simmons, will it be a whole year of trying to catch up on cardio and strength and everything? Because he's a whole offseason where he can't really play basketball to get himself. And he hasn't played now in over a year and almost 2 years.
Ready after the All-Star break.
So that you don't know what you're getting when the season starts next year from him. And then, of course, there's do you pay Kyrie? Do you pay James Harden? These are tough decisions that used to be. Teams would just do it because they felt they had to. But I think owners have to reach a point where they start saying, wait, is this a smart decision? Meanwhile, another medical update, this one from the Golden State Warriors. Gary Payton II, remember when he got hurt on that flagrant two, MRI confirms that he had a fracture in the elbow, additional ligament and muscle damage as well. Reevaluated in 2 weeks. So
likelihood a month, they say.
So probably won't see the conference finals, but could be available for the finals if they get that far.
The interesting part is, does the suspension follow the news?
Great point. That's a great point. Now that it's officially out there, what does the league do when it comes to Dylan Brooks? Because that could also be impactful when it comes to game three. That's a great point. 888 say ESPN. Let's grab a couple of calls here, shall we? Buddha's in the Bronx. Buddha.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, man, this stuff with the fans, it is crazy. You know, it hasn't started recently because you remember in 79 when Mike Milbury and them had to go in the stands and wash up them two brothers.
Mike Milbury beat a guy up with his shoe. He took the guy's shoe off and started hitting him with it. It's a true story.
You remember that, right?
Yeah, he was a petty loafer. Yeah. He grabbed it. He grabs the shoe. He slaps him on the butt with it because the guy was like, he had him over the chair. And then he threw the shoe onto the ice. The guy had to walk home with one shoe. Amazing.
You know what's crazy? Though?
But they were acting up because they were trying to take their stay. They were reaching over the glass. That's why the glass is so high now. The fans, they were reaching over the glass trying to get to the Bruins players. That's why they did it.
You know what's crazy, though, is that why things is amplified these days. It's two reasons. First reason is, you know, there's a camera and a phone everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people, they want to be, you know, seen or heard. Doesn't make a difference whether it's negative or positive. But there's another part of it, and fans don't want to admit to it. But let's just call it what it is, man. Like, these dudes, you know, fans get mad because dudes are getting paid a lot of money.
Yep.
So, you know, they're in these places, they're all sourced up. You understand what I'm saying? If you look at Yankee Stadium, they had threw the stuff on the enemy, but 2 weeks before that, they was booing Judge because he didn't sign that contract.
Mm.
Like, you know, they feel like they own these players, man. Come on. You know what it is, man.
Yeah, Buddha, good points all. I mean, I do think we're reaching that point. And there's a lot of consumption of sports. That's great. There's a lot of passion in sports. That's great. There are a lot more people putting their own money on sports. Now that sports betting has become legalized in so many different areas, there's an app for it now. It's so much easier, so you have a little more passion about it. And if someone fails you and costs you money, you're going to feel a certain way. I understand that. But I just have that question. Has the line blurred? That line, has it blurred? And is there any way to stop what seems like we're headed to another Malice in the Palace? And nobody wants to see that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Something Barstradamus, or actually just Bart, predicted would happen with the New York Football Giants, is in the midst of happening as another key player from the previous regime could be on his way out. We'll discuss that and, of course, continue with your calls on this as well. Bart Knott, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Get into the Giants stuff here in a couple, in a little while. It's interesting. It's something you saw it coming. A lot of changes with the New York Football Giants, and this is one of those, again, previous regime, some decisions they made, some players that they have ready to move on from. Right, and also the contracts, too. So we'll discuss that. But we're discussing with you 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776, all things sports. Let's go to D in Queens. What's up, D?
What's up, man? It's funny you talk about the discourse in sports, and some of your colleagues, not you guys, are part of it. They make things personal. I've said it before. Your network is the HHN, the Hate Harden Network, because they talk about, oh, Harden's lost his step.
We love
that. Right? But they don't talk about how he's good. Hold on. You don't talk about how he's getting trapped at half court and they're double teaming him. Even when they show the highlights there on the show he's watched, you see three people on him. Mm-hmm. And they're not talking about that. It's very disingenuous. It's suspect at best. He's getting double. There's a reason Maxey's getting so open and scoring so much. They're doubling Harden on every play in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
But you don't talk about that because it doesn't fit a narrative.
But, D, listen, that doesn't happen. Yeah, that's D, not happening to any other player. Like, great players, that's what they deal with all the time.
D. Before you answer.
Yeah, but if you get
D,
double teamed, you can't take shots.
D.
And then
D.
I also used to hear that, okay, hello, talk.
Good. D, this is the thing. When Harden was in Houston, it didn't matter. He had Aaron Gordon. He had Capella.
Eric Gordon.
It didn't matter. What we're saying is what we're acknowledging.
And he had shooters.
No, this shooter's
amazing.
No,
this you is don't what, talk about Danny Green.
No, this is
shots left this, and right. Wide
is,
open one.
Listen, this is what we're acknowledging. We're acknowledging that he used to be a superstar.
Unstoppable.
And he may be just a star now. It's a difference, right? It's a difference as we start seeing our heroes and our great players become mortal. We seen it happen with Carmelo.
You know what?
We see it happen with our great
Let
players.
Me cut
we're
this
recognizing
off.
That it's happening.
Let me cut this off. No, hang on. I want to ask you a question. I just want you to answer it straight. Do you think James Harden right now is still the same player he was when he was with the Houston Rockets? Is he the same player?
You know.
Yes or no? No, I think,
yes and no.
Yes,
yes
and no.
Yes and no. I got to ask you a question. Did Kobe Bryant, I got to ask you a question, and a bunch of your commentators, the same commentators, say that the way he played in Houston was not conducive to winning, but now you're saying he needs to play that way to win?
Oh, no. No, that's a totally different conversation.
So,
what I said was the way he played last year in Brooklyn was the best I've ever seen him play. That's the player that I thought was fantastic.
Okay.
And he's not even doing that this year, and that's the concern.
Did you hear what Vince Carter said?
But another guy. Oh,
hang on. D. This is our show.
Did you hear what Vince Carter said? Right? Vince Carter is basically saying, can he change his game as he gets older?
Mm-hmm.
Like Vince Carter had to do. Like Michael Jordan had to do. Like Kobe Bryant had to do. They had to get the turnaround fadeaway and kill you a different way. Does James Harden have that ability to adjust the way he plays but still be dominant but in a different way?
I think it's fair. And Vince Carter's not a guy that has an axe to grind. He's not
a
guy with
him.
An agenda.
We watched it happen to him.
He's just seeing what he sees, and I think he's just being honest. D, I know you love him, and I appreciate your passion for him. You stick up for him all the time. At least you're consistent. Mike's in Ohio. What's up, Mike?
Man, the headache. Why is he trying to protect Harden? It is what it is. I'm telling you, Ben Simmons is going to come back from this back surgery in 2025, and we're going to forget about this whole debate. That was the worst train ever.
Actually, the funniest thing you said, Mike. The funniest thing Mike said was that Ben Simmons is going to come back in 2025. Mike,
drop
it. Just drop it and move on. Because that
was sexual chocolate, everybody. Second, that boy good.
That's hilarious. Frank's in L.A. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's up, boss?
What's
I'm calling from LA. So my whole thing is with the whole James Harden. You know, like if he ain't giving you the right amount of points or anything like that, you gotta go. Like it's just, you know, Embiid is his time is now, and he wants to win, and he wants to win now.
Agreed.
So if he's not giving you those amount of points, you know. He's got to go. Like
you're exactly right.
It's simple.
Yeah,
you're exactly right.
Listen,
I mean, we can't waste.
Wait. And I got another question.
What's that?
Question.
Go ahead.
I know you guys were probably we'll probably, like, see what's up with this. But, you know, all right, you guys, I hear, like, SportsCenter always talking about Ja Morant this, Ja Morant that. You know, I get it. You know, young fellas coming up, it's all good. I respect that. But if you're going to respect, if you're going to talk about MVP, like, oh, he's MVP and his time is now, then you got to give it to Jason Tatum because, I mean, he's guarding the number one player. Look at how he was getting bodied by Giannis. Comes back game two.
Can't argue.
Gives him your point.
Listen, you know, but Frank, you make a great, you brought up a great point about Jason Tatum. And are we talking enough about him as much as we're talking about Ja? And sure. I'll say this to
exactly.
you.
What did that,
they, but what
that's
did they say? What did they say? Thank you, Frank. What did they say after the series with Kevin Durant? He's getting a seat at the table, right? Now he's going up against Giannis. Boy, you get out of this series, and you're the winner out of this series, and you guys were able to hold Giannis, and you emerged. That seat at the table moves closer to the head. I mean, you are becoming, as you get through these series, and if he gets to a finals with that Celtics team,
he's gonna have to
conversation continues.
Yeah. He's going to have to beat the Heat. I can't give him a pass for beating the Bucks. Because they're playing without their second best player.
Well, if they beat the Bucks, I think they can beat the Heat,
but
don't you?
Listen. Before the series started, I watched Monica McNutt and Jalen Rose say, hey, that Boston should be the favorite because Chris Middleton wasn't there.
Right.
And then Giannis showed us who he was. And he was like, well, maybe we underestimated them because they're so much bigger. They're beating a team without their second best player. I don't know if I can say you've arrived because you beat a team that was compromised, right? With their second best player, one of the most important players on their team.
All right, so
but
get
if
to
you
the
go if you go beat Miami
and get to the finals.
If you go beat Buckets and how deep they are, it don't matter. And it's not agree with the caller. Jason Tatum he's understated, he's quiet, and he doesn't get the credit that he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Devin Booker in Phoenix.
100%.
So we recognize that.
Yes.
But we can't deny them if they win a championship. Then he gets the respect. You're always going to be potential until you win the championship. And if he wants to put himself in that rarefied air with the people that we're talking about, Kevin Durant really got put in that rarefied air when he won a championship. Kawhi got put in there when he won a championship with Toronto.
Right.
So you got to – listen, it's levels to this stuff.
But he's on the verge.
Yes.
Fair to say?
Yes.
On the verge. All right, we'll leave it right there. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. More of your calls, and also the Giants making yet another move. It's going to save them money, but what will it cost? Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart, so we talked a lot of Jets coming out of the draft, but, you know, Joe Douglas has had a couple of years to build what he's got going on there.
Yeah.
Joe Shane walked into what was kind of a mess, right, with the Giants.
Salary and they had cap hell.
Salary cap issues for sure, and then on top of it also, what do you have at quarterback? I don't know.
Remember,
offensive line building, all that stuff. But they had a really good first round. They didn't have a great draft. They had a good draft. They got a B grade, but their first round was phenomenal.
And last
played
year was
well.
Solid. Last year was solid, too.
But for Joe Shane, you were talking about something that you said, watch for this. And that's James Bradberry, the cornerback. And you felt like he doesn't fit. They needed to open up some finances. And his contract, you said, doesn't make sense for where they are right now. Well, Joe Shane was this is quoted by NJ.com. He was asked about the Bradberry situation, and he said, we'll have some resolution hopefully by the end of the week. It's unfortunate because he's a great kid. Now, end of the week, it's Thursday. So we probably will hear something probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
So what you were suggesting is they're going to release him seems to be coming to fruition.
So this is the deal. Like, you talk about Dave Gettleman, and he said, hey, he didn't want to be in quarterback hell. Well, he's in quarterback hell because they're unsure about Daniel Jones. They didn't pick up the option because, you know, the option would have actually cost more, right? They picked up his option for next year. That would have been $18 million, right? He makes – this year, Danny Dimes make $8 million, and, you know, his cap hit is $8 million as well. But this is why it's James Bradberry, because it's not about his skill and what he did on the field, because he had a good year the first year, an okay year the second year. But the problem is, when you look at Leonard Williams, they gave a big deal to, but his deal is a little fresher than Bradberry's. So he has a $35 million cap hit. So if they cut him, then there's still $8 million that they have to pay. When you look at James Bradberry, his cap hit is $21 million, but his dead cap is $11 million. So that's the only way that they can save the $10 million that they need to sign their draft picks, because you need about because you have two first-round draft picks, that's more money than if you had a first-round draft pick and a second-round draft pick. So right now they have $5 million.
It's a top 10 picks.
Yeah, right.
Well,
so they have $5 million. That'll give them $15 million, give them enough money to sign their draft picks as they try and get out of salary cap hell. Kenny Galladay, $31 million dead cap. So they lose $10 million if they cut him. So he's going to go somewhere, but the reason they haven't done it is because they're on the phone lines trying to trade him to get an asset for it, so they don't feel so bad for letting a great player go and get nothing in return.
Where can he go?
He can go to Baltimore. Baltimore has Jimmy Smith. They need a third corner because he's a physical guy that can play in the boundary, but they have Marlon Humphreys. They don't need him to be a number one. He can be a number three because Marcus Peters is coming off the ACL surgery from last year, so then Baltimore wants to have guys. That's perfect base.
Great stuff as always from Bart. We're back in 10 seconds.
Meet me in the club. It's going down. Meet me at the club. It's going down. Getting some wings. And I'm going to clown.
Lemon pepper. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. On cue, by the way, after the Warriors announced the injury to Gary Payton II, saying he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks, and they announced the some muscle and ligament damage along with the fracture in the elbow. That's off of course, the foul from Dylan Brooks that led to a flagrant in game two where he was ejected. Adrian Wojnarowski now putting out the tweet, which we expected right after the fact. According to sources, the NBA will suspend Dylan Brooks for game three. Game three isn't until Saturday.
That's important because, listen, it could get out of control. Because you talk about the physicality, Draymond being beat up, the flagrant foul from Draymond first game, this escalated. And listen, you want to protect the team. You don't want anybody to feel like they're getting slighted because they will put the goon in there to sweep the leg. And it might be Ja who's in that compromising position where they decide to take that type of foul because they're going to say the least all it's going to cost us is an ejection for that game. Looney, go sweep the leg.
Yeah, I mean, eventually
that's how it
eventually
goes,
this
man.
Series has to get to a point where somebody's trying to win games and not worry about retribution. You know, you gotta also worry about that. But
what they're doing there to me,
this is eye for an eye.
Yeah.
They lost a guy. You're going to have to lose a game.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Draymond's flagrant didn't lead to an injury that cost the other team a player. This did.
Right.
And this is something they had to react to, and they did. Now, it's only one game. So you're going to wait weeks for Payton to come back. They're going to get Dylan Brooks back in one more game. So it's not that dramatic, but still, you got to do the eye for an eye.
But that's why it's important. Sorry, I'm taking my Beat Elite vitamin.
Oh, wow. That's gigantic. It looks like a Starburst.
That's what it comes. It comes in Chewies now. I don't like swallow pills. Yeah, but
it literally looks like a Starburst, just so you know.
But, you know, the reason why you have to do it, but that's why it's so important for Golden State to win that game. Because now you're talking about this game is
– Well, game threes are always – when it's 1-1, game threes are always pivotal no matter what the series is. Game threes are the biggest game of a seven-game series.
So if Golden State wins this game, then you want to say maybe a one-for-one player wasn't that bad, even though you feel sorry for the kid. But now you know you're two games closer to closing it out.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. But anyways, that's what's happening certainly in that series. We have no NBA tonight, Bar.
Yeah, we need to take a breath, man. Let these guys travel.
So being taking a breath, the Sixers can't get Embiid back because they play tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, the Sixers just played last night. They play tomorrow. The Warriors and the Grizzlies.
Blame it on TV. Blame it on TV.
What, they played Tuesday night? And they're not going to play till Saturday.
Blame it on – listen. Amazing Race and all these other channels, they had to schedule around how these stations program. They're like, hey, man, Thursday's a big day for us. You know what I mean? We need to put
Saturday. We have to wait till Saturday for the Bucks and Celtics. That's at 3:30 ABC. And then the Grizzlies. Like we don't get any basketball tonight, basically, just because they wanted to hold those games to Saturday.
Those games are on what stations?
They're both on ABC.
So they're both on ABC. So I guarantee you.
And we also have Formula One on Sunday. So Formula One's taking over at ABC.
Right.
The Grand Prix is down in Miami, by the way.
So blame this on the TV stations because they don't want to ruin
ESPN.
Right. So ABC.
Blame it on us.
Yeah, they don't want to. They don't want to miss one of their big nights of programming for things outside of sport. I know we think that the world revolves around sports in our little universe here, but some people want to watch, you know, The Bachelor and all those other things. So those are big programs that get big support, man. We don't want to mess up these ratings. It's about the average of the ratings.
Draymond Green also was fined, by the way, as expected.
Yeah.
How much do you think?
$25,000.
$25,000. I shouldn't have said
that. He already knew. He probably had an envelope already waiting there for him. He's like, please do not take my pocket change.
$25,000 for the obscene gesture.
Yeah. I mean, it should be right on point, right, with what probably Kyrie got. So it's a scale to this. They don't just pull these amounts out. It's if you're a repeat offender. So, like, he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Like, please, it's okay.
He said he can do an appearance. Did you ever do an appearance where you can put that kind of money in your pocket?
Yeah, I did a half an hour at Caesars and you know.
You did pretty good?
In between
going
there.
You don't have to say. Don't say how much you made, but you did pretty good.
Yeah.
Half hour?
It was like 40 minutes.
What'd you do?
Took pictures.
What?
And shook hands.
You can get
at the draft
for a half hour.
Yeah, about that. It was maybe 15 people. It was like $10,000. 15 people.
15 people. Half hour. 10 G's in your pocket.
Yeah,
just for being you.
Yeah, I mean, I did.
It's a beautiful country, isn't it?
Yeah, I did something for MetLife. Got 25 for just judging an art contest.
Judging an art contest.
Yeah.
How long did that take you?
Hour.
Is it like Draymond said?
Well, I did it for.
He goes,
it from
I'm
my
gonna
house.
Do an appearance.
I did it from my house,
and I'll pay for the. You did it from your Zoom?
Yeah, Zoom.
Come on, man! You judged an art contest on Zoom?
Yeah,
and you got like $10,000.
I think it was at the winter. Did it in crayons. Shout out to MetLife. Appreciate the money.
Yeah, I bet you do. But you know what? You had to earn that by getting the status that you had as a player and the popularity and the fame.
I had to fly on planes with no windows.
That's right. When you played 1AA?
Yeah, 1AA.
Just holding on. Like I do every day on this show. All right, everybody. Enjoy. No games tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.